Genesis 40 on Through the Word, and we left off with our hero, Joseph, in jail, locked up for a crime he didn't commit. It's been years since he saw his father, brothers, or anyone he knows. Do you know what it's like to feel forgotten, as if there was once a plan for you, but somehow that plan is gone now? For Joseph, there was a plan, God's plan. He had dreams back when he was 17, but that was long ago. So how long should he hold on to the hope that God still has a plan for his life? Joseph is in jail, but amazingly, the Lord is with him yet again. In the worst situation, the Lord stays with Joseph and shows him kindness, grants him favor, and the warden of the prison gives Joseph responsibility and more responsibility until Joseph, the prisoner, is in charge of the entire prison. And the prison is run so well that the warden pays no attention. Time passes, and we come to chapter 40, verse 1. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. So Joseph finds himself in charge of two of Pharaoh's chief men, both in trouble. More time passes, until one night each of the two men has a dream. Joseph finds them the next morning, looking dejected. "Why do you look so sad today?" In verse 8, "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." Now there's an interesting turn. Two men had dreams, and Joseph tells them, "Interpretations belong to God." I wonder how many times Joseph himself wondered about the interpretation of his own dreams. But his words here are telling. If you pay attention to Joseph's words throughout these stories, you'll find that he brings God in on just about every conversation. Facing temptation, interpreting dreams, naming kids, Joseph always brings up God. Amazing. It started when Joseph was a slave, his world upside down, and he was propositioned by a married woman. How could I sin against God? From there forward, it's as if Joseph can't put together a complete thought without God in it. The awareness of God in all things will change the way you look at life. Verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison." Don't miss Joseph's plea here. Remember me. Joseph is making the most of prison, but he wants freedom. He wants justice. And don't miss the fact that unjust suffering happens to God's people. So next, the baker shares his dream. "On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." The meaning of this dream is not so good. I'll let you read it. In 3 days, no more baker. And just as Joseph told them, both dreams came to pass in exactly 3 days. The cupbearer got his job back, and the baker was, well, not baking anymore. Now, before you get the wrong idea, I'm not telling you that your every crazy dream or wild idea is from God. Some ideas are from God, and some are just your imagination running away with you. It's on you to discern the difference, with the Spirit's help. And sometimes it's the very things that seem to work against the dream that ultimately drive you to figure out if it really is from God. Funny story, I actually wrote half the script to this guide about 5 years ago, back when I started Genesis. Back then, hardly anyone knew Through the Word. I was plowing ahead on a crazy idea from God that I just couldn't shake. We had no funding, my house was in foreclosure, my family on the edge of homeless, and I had to write these guides after I finished up my other 2 jobs that still didn't pay the bills. And check out what I wrote. I'm reading from the old script. If you are weary, if you are losing heart, I want to encourage you not to chase foolish dreams, but to trust God's plan and God's promises. Hey, if you're listening to this, if ever these audio guides make a real difference in the world, it's only after years of perseverance, struggle, desperation, hope, opportunities found, and opportunities lost. So much possibility and so much frustration, determination, and an absolute conviction that with God for us, nothing can stand against us. Well, those words waited 5 years for me to finally record them for you. I'm not trying to compare myself with Joseph. I'm just saying, we all go through it. For me, all the crazy trials pushed me to prayer. God, I need to know if this is your plan. And they humbled me. Joseph had his dreams, dreams of greatness. But that's a dangerous dream. If it's selfish, if it's Joseph's desire to be great for his own sake, that's the recipe for a tyrant. So what does it take for someone to be great, but for others' sake? Well, sometimes you got to learn to be nobody before you can truly be somebody. I think it's part of the last shall be first stuff. And that reminds me of Jesus. In fact, this whole story does. Think about it. Accused of things he didn't do, suffering for the crimes of another. And there in his suffering, there were two others. Remember the cross between two convicts. And yet one found salvation, the other condemned, hung on a tree. And both after 3 days. And look deeper still, a baker, bread, a cupbearer, wine, the two elements of communion, of which Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And what does Joseph say here? "When all goes well with you, remember me." But why? Why would God make Joseph's life point to Jesus with so much detail? Don't forget, Jesus said that all the scripture is about him. It's a little bit like, have you ever seen an M. Night Shyamalan movie? The second time? And everything makes more sense because that one thing at the end explains every step that led up to it. Well, in the Bible, that one thing is Jesus. You might miss it the first time, but wow, does it make more sense when you see Jesus from start to finish. And for me, seeing the connection between Joseph and Jesus really helps me humanize Jesus' suffering, helps me relate. He was sent by the Father to help, but he was betrayed, accused, and numbered with transgressors. But it was for good, for our good. And as I read about Joseph and consider my trials, I relate to him, to Jesus, and I feel that fellowship of suffering. Last verse, 23. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Oh man, forgotten again. Do you know what that's like? Or maybe you relate to the cupbearer, forgot the one who saved you. A lot of us do that to Jesus. Get out of trouble, then forget about him. If that's you, maybe it's time to remember. With the bread and the cup, time to take communion. Read chapter 40, and we'll meet right back here. Don't worry, Joseph's not going anywhere fast.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.